I went to our website, for those of you who have access to the web, went to our website this week and updated it. All of the events for February are listed, all the birthdays, anniversaries, the women's meeting, football game tonight, all those sorts of things are on the calendar on the website. I'm going to try to be disciplined enough every week to change the Pastor D's one-liner on there. And we're going to endeavor to try to keep it updated. We're getting ready to change the directions that are listed on the website. And because it has become much more simple to get to church now than it has ever been. And that's the way we need to look at it. It's not become more difficult. It's become very simple. Because there's only one way in and one way out. And
so
I wanted to tell you that because I wanted to encourage you to, when you're talking to people about coming to church, you can say to them, well, just visit our website at lamplight.us, and they can see directions and some things. We're going to be uploading some pictures to it and all kinds of things were going to be happening here. So, we want to use that as an additional tool. I'll give credit where credit's due. Pastor Lambert came up to me last week and said, if we can't afford bumper stickers, can we do business cards? Can we do a little business card that says a church alive is worth the drive and list service times and website and directions and all that sort of thing? I said, yes, we can. So I found some software to get that done this week, as well as some cards, so that we can do it on our computer here at the church rather than paying to have it done, because we can afford to do it on the computer here at the church. Plus, the secretary is really good at that sort of thing. So we hopefully will have those ready for you by next week, and we're working on some other things about that too. Today's message is entitled Evangelism 101. I want to share this story with you. A young woman teacher. You'll love this woman teacher, John, with obvious liberal tendencies, explained to her class of small children that she was an atheist. She asked her class if they were atheists too, not really knowing what atheism was, but wanting to be liked by their teacher. Their hands exploded into the air. There was, however, one exception. A little girl named Lucy who did not go along with the crowd. The teacher asked her why she decided to be different. She answered, "Because I'm not an atheist." The teacher asked her, "Well, what are you?" And she said, "I'm a Christian." The teacher was a bit perturbed and asked Lucy why she was a Christian. "Well, I was brought up knowing and loving Jesus. My mom's a Christian, my dad's a Christian, and I'm a Christian." The teacher started to get angry. She said, "That's no reason to be a Christian. What if your mom was a moron and your dad was a moron? What would you be?" She smiled and said, "I'd probably then be an atheist."
<That's true. laughs>
Oh, Lord have mercy. She probably did not learn that in Evangelism 101. Accepting Christ as my Savior, why yes, it's on my Palm Pilot to-do list. It's up to number 42 now. You know, the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, not everybody knows that they need or want to be saved, but everybody needs and wants to be saved. We have all kinds of questions. Our world is literally falling apart. I mean, my heavens, as I mentioned earlier in the announcements, I mean, just every morning when you get up, somebody in the city just got shot. It is unbelievable. And not only did somebody get shot, I mean, you know, it's like somebody got shot in the leg, or somebody got shot in the foot, or somebody got shot at. I mean, we're hearing last night came out of a bar and were shot in the head. Now, you have to be pointing and aiming to shoot someone in the head.
That's true.
You know, this the world, the city we live in, the world we're living in, the nation we're living in, it is falling apart. And everybody feels so entitled that every time something happens, they escalate the problem by feeling that they are entitled to something happening. I'll give you an example. The cruise liner with the Egyptians on it, that sank, what was it, Thursday or Friday, and about 1,000 people died. And all of a sudden now then in Egypt, there's this riot because everybody is entitled to have answers to what happened right now. And because you can't tell me what happened right now, and you can't tell me about my loved ones, and because I'm in a quandary, I'm going to take a Molotov cocktail and throw it over a fence and set something on fire. We escalate the problem because we live in a society of people who feel so entitled to everything. Right. That's our problem. And so we still have escalating in the Middle East, the problem we have going there between the Arabs and the Jews. Now the Arabs are all fighting each other. We're all concerned about, you know, it just seems like to me, this may be a personal opinion, but it seems like to me we forget 1,000 soldiers and remember one news reporter who got hurt. And isn't it interesting how all of a sudden the whole news industry has turned that thing around to where it's almost like he had been a target. You know, he just had to be at the wrong place at the wrong time when a bomb went off. You know, he wasn't being targeted, but those guys in green camouflage suits, they are. But they're not getting near the attention that he is. It's ludicrous. We're living in a world where there are a million things wrong, but it's still as simple as one answer. His name is Jesus. And it really doesn't make any difference what the question is. Whatever it is that's hurting, whatever the turmoil is about, whatever it is we're going through, all we need is less of us and more of Him. Now, you know, nobody's actually said this, but my perception is that people are sitting back going, he just, you know, it's not that simple. You know what makes it not simple? We keep complicating it because we won't believe how simple it is. Every marriage, I did some marriage counseling this week. You know what the problem was? Neither one of them wanted to be enough like Jesus to the other one. Now, of course, he described it one way, she described it another. You know what it all boiled down to? Nobody wanted to die in order for the situation to be straight. Let me say, I've said this for a lot of years, but I don't remember if I've ever said it here or not. But I'm going to say this because I want you to catch it. You ready? In every circumstance of reconciliation, somebody has to die. In every circumstance of reconciliation, somebody has to die. And when God was reconciled to you, Jesus died. And if I'm going to be reconciled to you, I've got to die. Well, but they. Okay. Then I'm sorry. Why are you wasting my time talking to me? It really is as simple as Jesus is the answer. It really is that simple. But we want to think that it's complicated. I hear my wife talking about classes that she has to take. And the other day we were... I know this guy's name is Ashley. And he and I have a business relationship with each other. And I introduced my wife to him for the first time the other day, and his wife is at the same stage in her nursing school that my wife is in. So he was asking Michelle, do you happen to know my wife? And then he said, and I'm getting ready to go back to school. He said, I had taken some college, but, you know, I took English 257, and now you have to have English 297, and English 257 doesn't qualify. And I'm standing there, and I'm listening to two of them, and they know exactly what they're talking about, and I have absolutely no idea. Because I didn't even take English. I think it as a second language. I speak redneck real well and English as a second language. But, you know, in school, classes have numbers attached to them that tell you what degree, I guess, of how far along in that, you know, there's English 101 and English 102 and English 103. And to somebody, that means something about how far you've gone in English. Well, because 101 is kind of like the starting part, where point where it's Math 101 or English 101 or Life 101 or History 101. 101 is a term that we use that means an introductory to a subject or some basic knowledge about a subject. And this morning, that's what I want to do with this. I want to take Evangelism 101. Because for those of you who were not here last week, let me reiterate what I said, but I want you to be sure and take that CD home and listen to it. We as a church are dying. We are dying, not spiritually. Spiritually, I can't help but wonder if we're not better off spiritually than maybe we've ever been. I said that to Larry Sykes before he came. He sent me an email when he left, and he said, I heard you say that. I found it hard to believe, but I believe you might be right. I think that on a spiritual level, people are working very hard at not playing games and being committed to the things that we need to be committed to. Not necessarily we've arrived anywhere, but at least we've turned our... Which way's north? We at least all know where we're going. You know? We've got our heads turned in the right direction. But physically, we're dying. We can't make our bills. We're not growing. In fact, we're losing. And we've got to become involved in evangelism. But be careful here. It's not evangelism for evangelism's sake. It's not evangelism in order for us to be able to make it. It's evangelism because God calls us to take the good news to a lost and a dying world, for which I don't believe we're doing. But we need to do it. And if we don't do it, then the option is we can't stay here. We're not closing the church. That option is off. Let me state this for the record. That option is off the table. I'd have to have a burning bush. The fire was not consumed. If God says close it, we'll close it. But that option is off the table. We will be a church for as long as God calls us to be a church. We just may not be meeting on Chesterfield Avenue. If we can't, if we are not willing. And see, the thing is, what we have done, and this is my fault. This is my fault from a leadership position. What we've done is we've looked at all the things that restrict us. And what we have to do is we have to change our focus to all of the good things that we have to offer. Okay? How many of you know of any other church in the world where somebody can stand up and say, I'm a sinner, and do you still love me? And the congregation go, yes, we love you.
No way.
How many of you know of any other place where the preacher's not wearing a tie, where questions are welcome during the sermon, where praise and worship is as good as our praise and worship is? I mean, we have a lot of things to offer, and we can sit around and go, well, they built a fence, and now we can't get in the back door. Well, that's good, because I'm going to tell you something. On those business cards I'm going to work on last week, it simplified the directions I got to put on them. If you're on 74 and you're going east, we're the first turnoff. If you're on 74 and you're going west, you go till you get to the light at 7th Street, make a U-turn, go 1.5 miles, and you're there. Isn't that a lot simpler than you exit off Briar Creek, you get on Monroe Road, and you turn back on Briar Creek? Yeah, that's the directions. And then you turn into the school, and then you drive through the school parking lot, and then you'll be at our back door. This just got a lot simpler.
Amen.
We have a lot of positive things to offer. If you don't like driving on 74, take 7th Street to Independence. You'll know you're there when you see Memorial Stadium. Turn right, go 1.5 miles. You're there. How much simpler can it get?
Amen.
She said, yeah, go ahead.
One way in,
and hey, you know, the people who are coming west, it really isn't any problem to them because they can turn right back around to go back when they're getting ready to go home. But the people who are going, who need to go west, it's very easy to get turned around to go back west. The people who are going east, hey, they're already headed back home whenever they leave here. It's all good. We just got to focus on the good rather than focusing on the problem. And that's been my fault. I take responsibility for that. I want to ask you this question. Do you feel that Jesus' life had meaning? In other words, was his life meaningful? I believe his life was meaningful. And the reason his life was meaningful is because in Matthew chapter 18, we read, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." The Son of Man came to save that which was lost. "How think ye if a man have 100 sheep, one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than the 99 who went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Our lives, Jesus' life had meaning and was full of meaning because he spent his life in service to others. Our lives have meaning to the degree that we give our lives away. Now, either that is the truth or that isn't the truth. Make a decision. Because if we're sitting around going, "I just don't feel like my life has any purpose. I just don't know that I'm having, there's just no meaning in life." Well, guess what? Pastor Jim taught me this phrase. We're navel gazing. I learned that from you.
I didn't need for you to tell everybody.
But isn't that a perfect picture of exactly what we're doing? Our lives have meaning. Our lives have purpose in to the degree that we bring meaning and purpose to other people's lives. That's why, one of the reasons why, it is important that we serve others. For our fellowship to grow, we must pray and believe. Push. Pray until something happens. Ladies and gentlemen, evangelism is going to start on our knees. Evangelism is going to start on our knees. We've got to pray. But we don't need to pray with doubt. "I don't know if anybody's coming or not." Hey, let me tell you something. A couple of 3 weeks ago when little Mike and Jennifer had their reception here at the church, their little shower thing and everything, everybody who was coming to that found it. Didn't they? Now, I heard Mike on the phone talking to his future mother-in-law, trying to teach her how to come around. But hey, she got here. We've got to pray and we've got to believe. Believe that God wants us to prosper. Believe that God wants us to grow. But most of all, just simply to believe that God wants the light of His Son Jesus to shine into a very dark and dismal world. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. "Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door is open." In James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, "If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without fault finding, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind." A fifth grade Sunday school class was asked to go home and that night go out in their backyards and count the stars in the sky as part of their next week's Sunday school lesson. They came back with various numbers. Some said 100 stars, some said 1,000, some said, "I saw a million stars in my backyard." Finally, the teacher asked a little boy who had said nothing, "How many stars did you count?" He replied, "3. The teacher asked, "How did you only see 3? He said, "I guess I just got a small backyard." You know, some of us think we just got a small backyard. You know, it is true that if you take a goldfish out of a small bowl and drop him in an aquarium for days, he'll swim in the same circle. Because he doesn't know how big the world is in which he lives or then moved into. And it's easy for us to become comfortable in our own small backyard. The sky's got a million stars, but if all you want to see is 3, 3 is all you'll ever see.
Amen.
And we've got to have a bigger faith and a bigger backyard because there's a lot of stars. Yes? Speak up.
I had a question about the... I was trying really hard this week to be open and you know, be open to having that door open to be able to talk to somebody.
Okay.
You know.
Good.
But there was never really a moment where I felt there was a door open, but I did, like, talk to somebody. I started it by asking her if she goes to church, and she said she did. She has a church, and so we talked about her church, and then I talked about my church, and, you know, but it was kind of awkward when I asked her, and I don't know, you know, should you, is it something where you just, you know, kind of practice it, and you just, like, practice talking to people, and then it'll, like, kind of get easier to know exactly what to say? Or is it something where you just need to be open and say, Lord, you know, if there's somebody that I need to talk to, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean, and that's a great question, for which the answer is yes. Yes, it does. We do become more comfortable with it the more often we do it. Okay? And yes, it's just a conversational thing. I'm going to get into relationship witnessing in just a minute. But I love what you said, because here's the thing. What I don't want us to do, I don't want us to get on some sort of a guilt trip. I don't want you to lay down at night, close your eyes, and you hear this voice in your head and goes, did you invite somebody to church today? Oh, I forgot. And jump up, put your clothes on, run down to 7-Eleven, grab the next guy who you see. You know, that's motivation by guilt. There's no grace involved in that. Okay? What we do is we live a lifestyle where we are open for God to speak to us and for us to be able to respond in conversation. Okay? I had the same thing happen last week. I went to the bank where I bank and put my ATM card in and made a deposit and walked away without pulling my card back out. And that happened like 7:30 in the morning, and I got to missing it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I called the bank, and they said, yes, sir, Mr. Hall, we have your card here. I walk in, and the girl says, here, I need you to show me some ID. I need you to sign right here. Here's your card. As her hand and my hand are both on that card, I looked at her, and I said, Jesus sure is good to me. Because that's exactly what I was feeling right at that moment. Jesus sure is good to me. And she looked up at me, and she said, he is good, isn't he? I said, yes, ma'am, he is. Just in the everyday goings along of life. Now, we didn't get to talking about church, didn't open himself up for that opportunity right then. But as we just make ourselves available, the Holy Spirit will point us in the right direction. Amen. Does that answer your question? Okay. We need to believe in a big God. We need a bigger backyard. We need to see more stars. We need a bigger vision. We need a bigger faith. We need to understand that we serve a big God. And we serve a God who's big enough to answer all of our prayers, especially when what we're praying about is something that will bring His Son honor and glory. There's nothing higher on God's agenda than honoring His Son. Amen? Amen. Amen. Number two, we must find and bring. We must find and bring. In John chapter 1, verse 40, we read, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard that John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Now, here's our question. Where are we going to find people? Well, guess what? People are everywhere. People are everywhere. And we work with people. We run into people in the Walmart store. We simply know people. Family, friends, next door neighbor. When Andrew, who was John the Baptist's disciple, heard John declare that Jesus was the Messiah, the first thing he did was go get Peter and say, "The one we've been looking for, we have found." We are in contact with more people than I think we even realize, because people are just everywhere. It doesn't cross our minds that we're in contact with them. But people are everywhere. I don't think the hard part's in finding people. I think the hard part's in having enough enthusiasm about what it is we should be excited about. John 1:40 says, "When Andrew said to Simon, 'We have found the Messiah.'" I think he was excited about what he found. And when he was excited about what he found, he didn't have any problem sharing it. The other day, a couple weeks back, Michelle and I were in the new Target store in Monroe. We were talking to each other. Okay? I don't even remember what we were looking at now, but we were looking at something and we were talking about it. And this guy walks, who's on the same aisle that we're on, have no idea who he is, never seen him before, haven't seen him since. He interrupts our conversation and says, "I'll tell you something you ought to do. You got a computer?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Go on the web too," and he gave me a website, and he said, "What you're looking at, you'll find a really good deal for that at this website." I went, and sure enough, he was right. Now, here's a guy who doesn't know me from Adam. But he's obviously excited about something. It may not even have been benefiting him, but he was kind enough to help it to benefit me. Go to this website, you can find what you're looking for there cheaper. Because what we're excited about, we will talk about. If you call my daddy's house today after my mother gets home, before you hang up from talking to her, guess what's one thing you're going to hear about? She bought a car last week. And she bought her a nice car last week. Pretty thing. I'm not going to tell you what color it is, because you'd think I was lying. And she wants to... Yeah. Because she wants to show it off, so I'm not going to spoil her surprise, okay? But I'm going to tell you something. My mom is excited about her new car, and she well ought to be. Yep. You know when she said, "Your daddy's not going to that wedding tonight, and you want to, if you'll come over here and pick me up, I'll let you drive my car." I said, "Yeah." Got her a new 06, and I mean, it's nice. It's nice. It is. It's nice. But you won't call the house and talk to mama, she's not going to tell you. Guess what I did? Why? I mean, is there anything wrong with that?
Nothing.
Not a thing in the world wrong with that.
But a lot of money.
Yeah, well.
Something wrong with that.
He don't know what it cost. Because mom and I are not crazy enough to tell him. The point is this. There's nothing wrong with that. The point is, she's excited. That's what she talks about. That's the point. When we get excited, that's what we'll talk about. And I think, personally, I believe we have some things that we can be excited about in our church. Amen?
Amen.
I'll tell you something. If you're sold on something, you'll sell it to others. If you're sold on something, you'll sell it to others. Yes?
I think sometimes those little comments, like what you said to the lady who was giving you back your card, sometimes they help more than, you know, I mean, just reminds people during the day, you know, God's up there, you know, looking down.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes that just, I don't know, those little comments sometimes are more important than sitting down with somebody sometimes, because it just keeps them reminded that, you know, God is watching.
And the other thing is it serves as an opening icebreaker to get the ball rolling. That's what those kinds of things are really good for. But you see, here's what I want to be sure that we've got drilled into our heads, okay? There is not a single one of us in this room who, when you walked through that door before we ever even knew who you were, We opened up our arms and accepted you with, we accepted you who you were and all the baggage you brought with you.
Amen.
Now, we've had some people who've turned around and walked back out the door. Okay? Because when confronted about their baggage, they said, well, I prefer my baggage over getting rid of it. Okay? But see, that's their decision. That's not ours. Our decision is to swing the door open and to say, whosoever will, may. And we will love you right where you are, who you are, with all of your junk. We'll even let you sit where you are, who you are, and in your junk if you tell us that's what you want to do. But if you tell us, I want to be better, you're going to hear the truth. You're going to hear the truth. Amen? Because it's only the truth that can set us free. But I'm going to tell you something. One of the reasons why people don't go to church is because of the rejection factors, either real or perceived. People feel rejected. Number three, we must befriend. Number three, and listen. According to Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Y'all got that? I'll give you another second. Proverbs 18:24. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. Proverbs 18:24. Dale Carnegie said, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. Dale Carnegie said, I lost it on my notes here. There we are. You can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. People in our world are hungry. They're hungry for affection. They're hungry for attention. They're hungry for love. And they are hungry for people to show them that they genuinely care. 3 John only has one chapter, so how did I get that? Oh, okay. 3 John verse 8 reads, we ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, to all men, so that we may work together for the truth. You know, some people say, well, I'm just not very outgoing. Or I don't have an extroverted personality. Okay, let's just get real here for a second. All righty. Granted, it does come for some of us easier than it does for others. Okay? I will give you that. All righty? You cannot have been raised in Pastor Jim's house and not be an extrovert. One of the extreme advantages is I've learned how to work a church cover dish dinner table to where I know every trick to be close to the front of the line. Because I've been to thousands of them. Amen? I remember one time I sang at this church down in Miami, Florida. It was mostly Cuban, and they had this cover dish dinner. I didn't recognize 90% of what was on that table. And most of the 90% all had heads on it. You know, fish with heads or pigs with heads or something, you know. And I was like, I saw in the middle of the table a Kentucky Fried Chicken box. I was like, that I recognize. Thank God for Kentucky Fried Chicken. But the thing is that it is easy for people like, I've never met a stranger my whole life. I can just walk right into a room, take the room over. Doesn't bother me one bit whatsoever. There are other people for whom that doesn't come as easy. That doesn't mean it's impossible. It's a matter of what it is we apply ourselves to. That's all it is. And so we either convince ourselves, I can't, because when you say you can't, then guess what? You can't. But if you tell yourself that through His strength, I can, you can. And it doesn't. And that principle will apply all the way across the board, ladies and gentlemen. What got me started on that was 3 John 8. We need hospitality is not something that is delegated to Martha and Kathy. Hospitality, a spirit that says, I'm glad to see you. My name is Don. Welcome to church. It's something that every one of us can do. Granted, it may be uncomfortable the first time, but the more we do it, the easier it becomes. As we whip ourselves into shape. I love that line I use sometimes about Paul didn't say he buffeted his body. He said he buffeted his body. What we want to do is we want to buffet our body. But Paul said, I buffet my body. At any place where my body is not conforming to look like Jesus, I beat it into shape. But see, we don't want to hear that kind of talk. Or, as I've told you before, we want to be poofed. You know, we want the Holy Spirit just to poof us, and all of a sudden I'm one way, and the next minute I'm a whole other way. That doesn't work that way. It is line upon line, precept upon precept, changing daily into His glory. Amen? Amen. Romans 10:1 reads, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. My heart's prayer and desire for them is that they might be saved. The question we have to ask ourselves this morning is, what is our heart's desire? Because according to the scriptures, which either we're going to believe or let's go home. Okay, because there's lots of pregame on TV. I love to watch that too. Okay? But I'd rather work with the truth. Amen? Now, I hate I said that because now I lost my train of thought. My heart's desire is that they might be saved. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Oh, what the scripture says is where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. And if our heart is in seeing people come to Christ, then we'll put our resources into seeing people come to Christ. Amen? Amen. Robert Woodruff, who was the president of Coca-Cola from 1923 to 1955, a 32-year span, cast the following vision for Coca-Cola. Right after World War II, he said, in my lifetime, I want everyone in the world to have tasted a Coke. And guess what? Pretty doggone close. But you know what? He stepped out in his backyard and he saw a million stars. He didn't see three. He stepped out in his backyard and he dreamed big. And he believed that if he worked and that if he got others to work with him, his vision could come true. And pretty doggone close, it has. Amen? If we're willing to dream big and believe God, not for something that we want, but for something that God's wanted us to do all along, then indeed the world is our footstool. Anyone have a question? All righty. I want to share with you again, because I don't want this. Sometimes it is the simple things that get away from us. We are not in a we're not in a position as a church to have a lot of people come and share with us, which is fine. It does have a particular drawback I'm getting ready to address, but that's fine. But you know, we enjoy Larry, we enjoy Yvonne, we enjoy Pastor John whenever he's able to be here with us. And really that's about it. You know? Yeah, we enjoy Wes when he comes and visits with us and speaks. But you know, the thing that concerns me is that sometimes when we listen to the same voice, We get to the point where we don't listen to that voice anymore. Last night at the wedding, I was walking down the hall and I heard Kelly Jolly before I ever saw her. Knew exactly who it was. But see, I don't live with her. But I knew that voice when I heard it, because I hadn't heard that voice so often that I don't hear it anymore. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So sometimes I like to come around the back end, tap you on the shoulder with something I say, in order to make sure that when in me saying it, it's not, well, that's Don again. Or what, you know, so I try to keep us a little bit on the edge of our seat so that we're paying attention. But sometimes I think that even that gets to the point where we get to where we expect it, and we sometimes don't catch the full truth of what's being said. And so I want to share with you again the story. Thank you, DJ. I'm doing this because I want you to have this picture in your mind's eye. Okay? This will help you remember my little story here. A parable is told of a community of ducks waddling off to church one Sunday to hear their duck preacher. After they waddled into the duck sanctuary, the service began and the duck preacher spoke eloquently of how God had given the ducks wings with which to fly. He pounded the pulpit with his beak and said, "With these wings, there is nowhere we ducks cannot go. There is no God-given task we ducks cannot accomplish. With these wings, we no longer need to walk through life. We can soar high in the sky." Shouts of amen were quacked throughout the duck congregation. The duck preacher concluded his message by exclaiming, "With our wings, we can fly through life. We can fly!" More ducks quacked out loud amens in response. Every duck loved the service. In fact, all the ducks that were present commented on what a wonderful, convicting message they had heard from their duck preacher. And then they left the church and they all waddled home. And that's what bothers me. I don't want us to get excited about that we can fly and then walk home. You bunch of ducks. God has given us through His Son at Calvary everything we need to reach a lost and a dying world. But I'm going to tell you what. He's not going to stand outside the church and stretch your wings out and flap them for you. And so every one of us this morning faces a decision. I will fly or I will waddle. Once again, it breaks down to just two choices. Yeah. I will fly or I will waddle. I will say to... Let me say to Liza and to those of others of you who did the same thing but have just not expressed it to me yet, I appreciate hearing that there was a change. And see, what you're saying to me is all I'm asking. I'm not asking you to go out and buy $1,000 worth of tracks and make sure that, you know, you leave them on the back of the commode in every restroom you go in the next week. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking you to keep your antenna up. Because I only ask of you one thing. Obey the Holy Spirit. Okay? And you may go through a week where your antenna's up and it doesn't receive a signal. And you may go through a day when your antenna's up and you receive 1,000 signals. It doesn't make any difference. The difference is whether or not my antenna's up. Because see, God can send signals, but if our antenna's not up, we're not going to be able to reach it. Before service, Wes and I are working on the VCR to make sure we're able to get the TV channel in here for us to zoom it up tonight. And one of the things we're going to do is we're going to have to, because we're in a metal building, we need to run the antenna outside. How many of you, just makes perfectly good sense? Okay, just take it over to our spiritual thinking. You know, if my antenna is like on my car, when I cut the radio off, the antenna goes... Now, how many of you know those radio signals are still out there, but my radio is not picking it up?
Yeah. Amen.
I got to push the button, and the antenna's got to go up, but when it's up, I get all kinds of channels. Hey, on my mama's new car. On my mama's new car, she got XM radio. for at least the next 2 months so she can decide if she wants to keep it or not. You have any idea how many channels are on XM Radio?
Yes, I do.
But guess what? If you don't add some power to the antenna, it doesn't make any difference how many channels XM Radio's got. Here's can I give you one more analogy? I talked to Mama. Didn't have to talk her too much because you know she's as much a gadget freak as I am. But her new vehicle's got OnStar on it. Because at her age, I don't want her to be somewhere and be in trouble and be by herself. Do you know that OnStar is connected to the airbags on your vehicle? When your airbag deploys, wherever they are up there, they know it. And they call you. And if you don't respond, they just look down from heaven, know exactly where you are, and send the police out there to check on you. Now, if your mama was 75 years old, would that make you happy to know she had that? Especially when she's 75 years old and wants to go like she's 20. Okay? I'm glad that at least for the next year, she's got OnStar so she can hopefully at the end of the year decide she wants to keep it. But nonetheless, the guy said to me, yeah, I had to go back to the parts department and get the antenna because there wasn't an antenna on there. How much? You know, it doesn't make any difference if OnStar's sitting there 24/7. If that antenna is not attached to the top of that car, she can push that button until Jesus comes and nobody's talking to her.
Amen.
That's what I'm asking. I'm asking us not to waddle home. I'm asking us to stick our antennas out and just keep them pointed. And I promise you that when the Holy Spirit, if you've got your antenna up, when the Holy Spirit wants to get your attention, He has no problem turning up the volume.
Amen.
But it doesn't make any difference how loud He hollers if you don't have your antenna up. Please, this week, let your antenna be up and let's add meaning to our lives by being about Jesus' business. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Lord, we thank you that when we were lost, that somebody came and talked to us, that somebody shined the light in our direction, and that by your Holy Spirit you tugged on our hearts and spoke in our ears and said, this is the way, walk ye in it. Lord, we humbly acknowledge to you that this is a wonderful church. But it's not wonderful because we're here. It's wonderful because of what you have made us. We are indeed your workmanship. We are indeed the sheep of your pasture. We ask you, O God, that you would make us more like you, and that you would let our light shine, and that you would draw all men unto yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.